Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this worship service of the First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor on this warm and sunny last Sunday in September. I'm Rick Mixon, the transitional pastor here at First Baptist. Delighted to have those of you in the sanctuary this morning, as well as those of you who are watching online in our hybrid community. You'll find connect cards in your bulletin. If you fill that out and put it in the offering plate when it's passed, we'd appreciate it. During the singing of the first hymn, if you have joys or concerns that you'd like lifted up in the prayer time, there are prayer cards in the pew rack. If you fill out the prayer card, and the ushers will collect those during the singing of the first hymn. After the service this morning, we'll have our regular fellowship time downstairs in the fellowship hall. You're all invited to come and have some time just sharing with one another. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will have our annual blessing of the animals. Gretchen and I will be out in the parking area under a tent to bless your animals. So if you have critters that you would like to have blessed, please bring those by this afternoon at 4 o'clock for that celebration. Next Sunday, on the first Sunday of October, which is, by the way, World Communion Sunday, and I invite you, if you have something to wear that represents a different culture, someplace you've visited, someplace that's your culture of origin, if you would wear that, that would be wonderful as we celebrate communion with people around the world. And after that worship service, we'll have a time to gather downstairs to do a kind of taking stock of where we are after the first year of transition here at First Baptist. And there's some instructions in the bulletin for filling out some questions if you have them, so look at that. The service is a little bit different this morning. I want to just highlight a couple of things. We have two scriptures, so for the first scripture, the Ecclesiastes scripture, which Betsy will read, you don't need to stand, you can sit for that, and then we'll stand for the gospel before the middle hymn. So if you can follow that instruction. And then we're delighted to have a new thing in our services starting today. The fourth Sunday of each month, we'll highlight one of our mission action projects. And DJ will be introducing somebody later in the service. And then I just want to say how grateful I am to Sarah Armstrong from our Music and Arts Board for taking the things that we put together at Coming Home and creating a really beautiful prayer poem that will you'll hear in the order of worship this morning. Betsy, you're up.
God calls us to this place, a haven for healing and hope. We come with the pain of our burdens. We come to hear God's word of hope for us. Together, we will sing songs of joy. Each of us will hear God whisper our name, Beloved of my heart. We join our voices in prayer and praise. We sing of our longing for new lives. Here, our shadowed corners are filled with light. Here, we discover that God dwells in us. And not just us, for God would teach all to love. God's Spirit would lead all peoples in peace.
Thank you. I am coming home. My hand is on the door, a story on my lips. I bring the world inside, an adventure at a time. And I am met with steady love, with patience and impatience. Full of light and might, I embrace and am embraced. And in the coming and the going, in the busyness of days, we build memory by memory who I am meant to be. I am coming home. I shut the door behind me to keep the world at bay. Its pain howls at the windows while it calls my name. I take off my armor. I unlink my spine. I take a jagged breath and hold your hand in mine. And I am seen and I am known in all my imperfections, and somehow loved in spite of them. Healed, whole, I leave again. I am coming home. I stand uneasily on the porch, unsure whether to stay or to go. My heart keens, mourning what was and will never be again. You are gone, and I am broken, but you sing in my soul still. I remember your failures, and I regret my own, and amongst the echoes I sit weeping in the ashes of our home. I am coming home. I step outside onto my porch and walk into the world. I close my eyes. A gentle breeze kisses my skin. I breathe it all in. The sun, the rain, day departing, dawn returning, the inevitability, the limitless possibility. And for a fleeting moment, I am at peace. But then a car drives by, the door slams, and I am lost again. Lord, I see it now, how you have offered home and held within it everything, everything. The world is hard and wonderful. And as the years pass, I try to meet it all with love. I want to be for others what home has been to me. I want mine to be the arms that extend your embrace, softness and safety. I want to be that place. Lord, help me. I am not coming home. I am becoming home.
Thank you.
1 through 13. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, the Holy One has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and to enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that we all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. The word of the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I have some things to represent times of the year. Do you know what season this might be? Winter. Good. Wonder what season this represents. Summer. Kind of felt like summer yesterday. Okay, so winter and summer. Oh, what do you think this one is? Spring. Yeah, spring, when the flowers come out. Oh, and I stopped in the neighborhood and got my favorite leaves from fall. Yeah, we're in this season when the leaves start changing and falling. Seasons, Seasons happen throughout the year when you live in Michigan. That's one of the special things about living in Michigan. Can you think about what are some good things about seasons? What are some good things about seasons? What do you like about our seasons? Do you have some ideas about that? Yeah. Yeah? You like what at your house?
I have flowers at my house.
You have flowers at your house. Do you love when the flowers start coming through the ground in the spring? I love that. Yeah. I love that we don't have one season all the time, that the seasons do change. And I notice things differently because the seasons change. It's not always the same. I notice when the snow and ice start to melt. You can hear it. Yeah. Finnegan is right. Some places on Earth, the seasons are not as big of a change as we get to experience here in Michigan. When the trees change. There are also seasons we celebrate at church. What are some of the seasons? One starts with an A. Add. You got Eleanor, you got an idea? Ooh, there's an Easter season. We celebrate Easter for many Sundays. What were you going to say, Jacob? Advent. Yeah, go ahead, say it. Advent. What's another one? Christmas comes at the end of Advent. Pentecost, what's another one? Do you remember what the season is that we get ready for Easter? Starts with an L. Lent. Lent is when we get ready for Easter. So we have all of those seasons which help us tell the story of Jesus' life. I like those seasons too. And we also have seasons like growing seasons and aging seasons. We have loud seasons and quiet seasons. We have seasons when we cry a lot and seasons when we laugh a lot. There are seasons when we're in a transition, when we're doing something new, and there are seasons when we get to build something new. All of those different seasons. Here's what I love about seasons. They remind us that we're not alone because everybody's experiencing them. That seasons are part of our story, but not all of it. So when we're having a season of crying a lot, that's not the only thing happening in our lives, but it might be something that's pretty significant. In our Bible story today, it says to lean in to our seasons. Can you do a lean in with your body? I'm going to lean in this way. Can you lean? Lean into our seasons. Now lean forward. Lean into the season because there's something good about those seasons. There's something it can offer us. And when it's a hard season, I have a friend who always says this. Amelia, can I hold your hand? My friend says that God holds your hand through the hard seasons. God doesn't ask you to build a house there. God helps you walk through the hard seasons. I like that picture, that God walks with you through the hard. But so seasons, we lean in. There are gifts in them. Sometimes they're hard, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're just in between. But may we feel our feelings in those times and places, and may we lean in to see what there is for us there. So would you do one more big lean in? Whatever way you're going to lean in, forward, backward, sideways, whatever, lean in. God, you give us seasons of all kinds in our lives, in creation here in Michigan, seasons to tell your story. Help us lean in. Help us feel our feelings there. Help us be about love in those spaces. And God, help us walk through the lousy seasons. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's head to church school together.
Now we enter into a season of prayer. We bring our joys and our concerns, and we lift them to you, O God. We are a diverse group of people. We come from different places. We come in different shapes this morning. We come with different joys and concerns. All of it we lift to you. Here in this place, we claim, at least for this hour, as our home, a place where we are welcome, a place where whatever touches our lives matters and is held in a community of love and compassion. We thank you for this place at this time. We recognize that we live in a world that's not in great shape. God, we pray for an end to hatred, to vitriol and vengeance among our people. We pray for an end to the scourge of gun violence, and that somehow we might come to a place of sensible gun control in this country. We pray for the war-plagued people of Gaza and Ukraine and Sudan and all those places where sabers are rattled and war is threatened if not practiced. We pray for the healing of the planet in this time of climate chaos. We pray for refugees and immigrants, those people looking for a place that they can trust as home. We pray for our hungry and unhoused siblings. We lift up trans people living into their true identity in an increasingly hostile environment. We pray today for Bob Reynolds, for John Vandervliet as he returns to work this week, for Becky Lepley as she moves to live with her daughter Celeste, for Ashley Harrison recovering from surgery, for Adrian Moulton Headley, for Mary Margaret Hatt, Erica Deals, Rob Snyder as he moves this week, for Arthur and Marlene Francis, for Roberta Hawes, for Betty Doman, Mervyn Eucart, Esther Floyd, Catherine Carty, Linda Berg, Marilyn Marsh, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg Dubois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key, for Katie L., for Margaret, for Mary, for Sarah, for Kathy, for Chuck Suits, and we lift up our pastoral search committee as they do their important work. What is our hope? Simply put, it is that God does not give up on us. With such good news, we can dare to bring our prayers to the one who will not cast aside our words or our hearts. We choose not to give in to fear, even when we are threatened by violence and abuse. We choose to believe in the power of love. We choose not to be led by despair, even when dreams fail and the world seems to grow colder and more broken. We choose to believe in the power of hope. We choose not to be blinded by cynicism, even when joy and celebration feel naive and frivolous. We choose to believe in the power of faith. We choose not to be overawed by death. Even when grief shuts out all other voices, we choose to believe in the power of life. In every time, in each place, with all people, may your resurrection rise up within us and lead us to new, creative, healing choices. In every circumstance, may we choose life. And now we gather together to pray that prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is DJ Reed. I'm the chair of the Mission Action Board, and I'm really pleased to announce that on the final Sunday of September and October and November, we're going to be focusing on mission, specifically our 20 different mission. Well, we'll have a different mission partner that will focus each week. And when I say mission partner, we're talking about organizations that we financially support. And so the one that we invited Detroit Friendship House to join us today. And so they are a ministry of American Baptist Home Mission Society. And today we have the executive director, Khursheed Hossain. So glad to have you with us here today. Khursheed, you have a little bit of, tell us a little bit about the company, your organization, before we go on any further.
Thank you, DJ, and thank you, everybody, for welcoming us into your space. So Detroit Friendship House is a ministry of the American Baptist Home Mission Societies, and the journey started in 1929. Yes, but my journey with Detroit Friendship House started in 2018 as the program director. And I worked with the previous executive director, Kathy Maher. We had big visions for Detroit Friendship House. We wanted to get from a place of transactional help to relationship building. So for most of our history, we have been a food pantry and remain so, but our focus has shifted to how do we build sustainable lives and help people of all walks of life build stability.
Now, I failed to mention at the beginning that Detroit Friendship House is in Hamtramck. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the issues and problems that you are currently addressing.
Yes, so Hamtramck is 2.2 square miles, but it has always been a welcoming space to everybody all around the world. If you look at the demographic growth since 1920 in Hamtramck, you can tell what global events were taking place. So starting in 1929, we had an influx of, I don't want to use the word influx, we had the opportunity to welcome Polish families. And then followed by the Croatian, Eastern European, Serbia, Albania, Yugoslavian. Then we had Bangladeshi Americans coming to settle because it was automotive industry was just booming and mortgage prices were low. And then more recently, we see Afghan families, we see Ukrainian families, and so we recognize that it takes more than just a box of food to address food insecurity. Food insecurity is a symptom of a larger cycle of poverty. And in that cycle is health equity, health access, language barriers, transportation, employment, and education. So those are just the facet of the things that we are trying to address for each family.
That's wonderful. Give us a little bit of a kind of a profile of a family, which is, I mean, you have so much diversity, right?
Yes.
So within Hamtramck.
Yes.
But give us a sense about the people that you serve in your...
So with our women's empowerment group, this was something that was funded by the American Baptist Home Mission Society with a small grant to initiate in 2019. We recognized that language was a barrier for many immigrant women. Their partners had more access to education, learning English, probably had a job, but the women were very isolated in their homes. So we built a space. If you built it, they will come, right? So we built it, and we said we can learn basic English here. And so since 2018, we started off with five women, Yemeni American women, Bangladeshi women, Ukrainian women, and today we have a class of 24. So this has grown over the years, but you told me to tell you a story. So I'll tell you a story about a widow that came, and this happened after COVID. So a lot of history there, a lot of trauma there for her. But initially, she came because she needed help with food, and then she heard there's a English language class with women and women only, and she wanted that gender separated space. Just somewhere where she could sit and breathe. And as she's learning these basic English things, she's thinking more about, well, here are my problems. My son is struggling in school. I'm struggling to go from a part-time job to a full-time job. What else can we do? So in that space, she met another widower. So, and she said, hey, have you thought about grief counseling for your son? Maybe it's not because you don't know English and you can't help him with his homework. Maybe it's more than that. And she said, did you know Detroit Friendship House has health workshops? And she said, no, I didn't know. So we were able to connect her not only through the Women's Empowerment Group, but also through Henry Ford Health to get her access to the health that she needed and the help she needed for her son.
That's wonderful. Now, my third question was going to be, why do you matter in your community? And I think you just answered it right there with that story. So that's really wonderful. I'm so glad you shared that. You're going to have an opportunity to interact more with Krishida. She's going to have, there's a table downstairs in the fellowship hour that you can get more information about Detroit Friendship House. And then Krishida's actually going to be leading our adult formation hour, our session down there. And so we invite you to join us for that at 11:30 after you get your snacks and coffee and so on. So Krishida, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much.
Such a pleasure to have you. So thank you.
Indeed, thank you for this opportunity to see our mission in action. I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel and remain standing for the middle hymn. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In God's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Holy One who will give you another advocate to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in God, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by the Holy One, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In West Side Story, Leonard Bernstein's brilliant musical setting of Romeo and Juliet, which many of us saw earlier this summer performed by a brilliant young cast, the star-crossed lovers sing to one another of hopes and dreams they have that we know will not be realized this side of heaven. In the midst of the turmoil of their young lives, Tony begins to sing, "There's a place for us, somewhere a place for us. Peace and quiet and open air wait for us, somewhere." And Maria tenderly responds, "There's a time for us, someday a time for us. Time together with time to spare, time to look, time to care, someday." And then together they soar on Bernstein's haunting melody, "There's a place for us, a time and place for us. Hold my hand and we're halfway there. Hold my hand and I'll take you there somehow, someday, somewhere." These words came flooding into my memory as I thought about today's sermon title, of time and place. I'm sure that they come so easily because the choral project, the choir I sang in for many years, used to sing a beautiful setting of this song, complete with everyone using sign language while singing the final chorus. I also remember it was a favorite of the Voices of Lakeshore, the choir of Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church in Oakland, back in the days when that congregation was struggling to identify itself as a welcoming and affirming congregation. The longing for safe time and space is ancient and universal. Sadly, the lovely, hope-filled dream of Tony and Maria is destroyed when Tony is killed in a violent, hateful fight between rival ethnic gangs on the streets of Spanish Harlem. And still the song echoes, and still the song continues to echo as an anthem for folk who hope for places of peace and quiet and open air, who long for time together with time to spare, who deeply desire time to look and time to care. Though this is not the main theme for today, I would be remiss in not reminding us that in this time and place, violence, hatred, racism, sexism, homo-hatred and transphobia, every sort of narrow-minded intolerance continues to dash hopes and lay waste dreams for simple, civil society, let alone God's beloved community. Friends, there's so much still for us to do. But today I want to focus on this community, those gathered in this room and online, in body and in spirit. What time, what of time and place when it comes to First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan? When First Baptist Church of Palo Alto, California was drawing to a close, I crowdsourced ideas for scripture texts for the final services. I got many more helpful suggestions than I could use, but the input focused a good deal on death and resurrection, which led me to turn to a couple of beloved funeral texts, Ecclesiastes 3 and John 14. Now, I know that First Baptist is not facing finality or a funeral, but these texts still seem timely if we are to speak of time and place. both of which are important to this congregation's future. I remember reading a lovely collection of short stories by the great writer and national treasure Wendell Berry. For those of you who may not be familiar with Berry or his work, he's a poet, novelist, essayist, environmentalist, and farmer who lives and works in rural Kentucky on the banks of the Kentucky River. Much of his fiction focuses on the imaginary community of Port William, a small town located near the Kentucky River. His work recounts stories of the lives and interactions over the course of the 20th century of what Berry calls the Port William membership. The Port William membership. These are country folk, mostly farmers, and the people who populate the rural village. One of the primary things Berry emphasizes is time and place. His characters communicate his love and concern for both. In fact, the collection that I read is called A Place in Time. What would it mean for the First Baptist membership to hold love and concern for both time and place? What about your own place and time? The writer of Ecclesiastes, that purveyor of ancient wisdom, laces the opening of the third chapter of her book with a well-known and much-loved collection of opposing pairs. She covers a lot of territory between birth and death, seed time and harvest, hurting and healing, war and peace, weeping and laughing, mourning and dancing, coming together and breaking apart. All of this to make her key point that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Time matters. In this time of transition, we've considered some of the rich history and valuable legacy of First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Much like the folk who come together in the Port William membership, there was a time when an intrepid little group of Baptists came together to form this church, almost 200 years ago now. The church settled here because some of those folk and their descendants believed that this was the place they needed to be. This was the place in which they were called to bear faithful witness. Over the years, the congregation has waxed and waned. Throughout those years, all kinds of church programs and activities filled the hours and occupied this space. Really, what a time it has been in this place between Huron and East Washington. But beginning with the chaos of the late 1960s, the traditional church as we have known it has begun a slow decline to the point that now in the third decade of the 21st century, church membership and attendance have shrunk radically. Several thousand churches close their doors every year. Much as inevitable and costly change comes to Port William with the advent of mechanization, agribusiness, rampant consumerism, and greed. Times change and it's costly. The membership must adjust or die out. As the old adage proclaims, change is the only constant. So how does a community adjust and sustain itself over time in the face of great challenges? How does it live into its current place in time? There are surely practical considerations of time and place for First Baptist today. What's your purpose? What is the good news you are called to share? How do you do this thing called church in a constantly shifting environment? How do you maximize the value of this space you hold in sacred trust for the building up of God's beloved community? all questions with which we have wrestled in this transitional year. Beyond the practical, there are also spiritual dimensions of time and place. It's important for us to remember whatever the future holds, there is still God's time and place to consider. God's role in the life of the membership is one of the crucial, if not the crucial, foundation element for this community to consider. For today's words of preparation, I love the assurance from Leslie Weatherhead's classic prescription for anxiety. He writes, "Let us, 50 times a day if need be, set before us a picture of the real God, utterly loving whatever we have done, infinitely strong, resourceful, and purposeful, finding this way for us when that way is closed for whatever reason, who will not allow us to be lost and defeated if we trust God, and who is generous beyond all thoughts of generosity. Let us commit ourselves to God every morning, for the real God is to be trusted, and whatever happens to us, called as it may be by others, failure, catastrophe, or defeat, we shall know that eternal love still bears us on its bosom, and that we shall find our way home without regret." You see, we're not on our own to figure all this out. Through Christ's calling, God's guiding, and the Spirit's empowering, we all can continue to move toward that day when God's beloved community will be as real on earth as it is in heaven. Somehow this reality does not change over time, though its trappings may. In fact, that is the promise on which we stake our lives and our life together. So we continue to work for the fulfillment of the beloved community in this time and this place in whatever ways we can, recognizing both our limitations and our power to make a difference, especially when times are tough. Remember Sarah and Abraham? The writer of Hebrews tells us that by faith they stayed for a time in the land they had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did their children and grandchildren, Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah and Rachel, who became heirs with them of the same promise from God. They all looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Whatever the concepts of time and place held for them, they were on a journey to the land of promise, to their final home in God's beloved community. Though their lot was not as tragic, I imagine them joining with Tony and Maria to affirm that there's a time and place for us. Maybe they would have found familiarity in the struggle and grace of the Port William membership. At times we have felt secure in our time and place, only to have life turn everything upside down. Though if we're honest, we may have seen change coming for a while, it can still be disruptive and disturbing. We may not be so sure of time and place for us right now. Maybe we hear something like Jesus talking to his anxious disciples, telling them how he was going to die. They were terrified at the thought of losing both their time and their place with him. How could they handle such a disruption to the life on which they had come to depend, which they'd come to love? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In God's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the promise is that there is always, always a time and a place for us, if we will let it be so. I keep being drawn back to the wisdom and hope of Dorry Elsey Blessoff's folk hymn from the 1970s. May its words be a comfort and a blessing for First Baptists, whatever lies ahead. She writes, "We are gathered here together in the presence of the Spirit. We are gathered here together just to celebrate the union, the coming together of our souls in time and space. We know God's reign is coming, and we know it won't come easy. But still we trust our vision of the smile on future's face. We're traveling on a road we've never seen before. And oh, it's hard to know which way to go. But somewhere there's a promise about distant shore that those who seek will someday know." Yes, there's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There is, and always will be, a time and place for us. Amen. As the ushers come to collect our morning offering, I invite you to give generously to the support of this community, its life together, as well as the mission that this church so faithfully keeps, as we've heard this morning. The ushers come. We do not only offer our gifts to you, but our companionship to all who are lonely, our hearts to all who are grieving, our hope to all who have lost their way, our lives to all who are tossed aside by the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I now invite you to greet one another with the joy and the peace of this day. May the peace of Christ be with you, so with you. Peace. Peace. Glad you're feeling better. Said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. In Christ we know that love reigns forever, that hate will not have the final word. Oppression will end, injustice will cease. In Christ we have our hope of new life now and forever. May the peace that passes all understanding Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.